Jesus is still risen from the grave. He's still alive. And He's still working and moving among us. And He's still seated at the right hand of the Father. They're making intercession for us. But welcome home to Voice of Praise. We're so glad you're here. If you're here for the very first time, fill out one of these connect cards for us. Turn it in to one of the ushers on your way out. And we have a very special gift for you just for being our guest this morning. And we hope that this time won't be your last. But do fill out one of those connect cards. We won't share your information with anybody. It's just for us. But we appreciate you so much being here at Voice of Praise today. I want you to go to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus chapter 3. And in the book of Exodus chapter 3, we find here the call of Moses, if you would. And Moses, Moses doesn't understand everything that's happening at this point. I just want you to get that. You know, sometimes you and I don't understand everything that's going on with the Lord. Actually, we probably understand very little that's going on with the Lord, in spite of our supreme intelligence, especially those of us that don't have any hair. That is a sign of intelligence. You realize that, correct? Yeah. So, but Moses doesn't quite understand what's going on here. But as we pick up reading Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what? What shall I tell them?" In other words, if Moses was talking in good old Appalachian English, he would say, "God, what am I supposed to do if I go over there to them people? And they ask and say, 'Your God has sent me here.'" And they say, "Well, what's his name?" He said, "What am I supposed to say?" Yeah, that's the way we would have shared it. What am I supposed to say? God said to Moses, you notice this in parentheses there or italics, he says, "I am who I am." This is what you're supposed to say to the Israelites. And you'll notice, "I am," in caps, "I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord.'" Now, there you'll notice the Lord is all capitalized. That has significant meaning because in Scripture, when Lord is all caps, that means Yahweh or the fullness of the Godhead. Okay? The fullness of the Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation.'" I want to preach to you this morning with the thought in mind, and my PowerPoint's too dark for this wall, isn't it? It says "I am," actually. What's in the name? The name "I am." The name "I am." There are times when you and I hesitate to do God's will or to follow God's beckoning, if you would, or to follow the Word of God because we have feelings of inadequacy. We feel that we are not good enough. We feel like that we are unqualified. We feel like there's something. Many times we feel more disqualified than we do qualified to do the work of the Lord. And we blame all of that, or we accredit all that to the work of humility. And certainly humility is great. Some humility is a virtue that we need to have, okay? But understand this. In the overall perspective of doing the will of God, in the overall challenge of carrying out the work of God, let's be honest with ourselves. Who is qualified? Who is qualified? This is the holy God that we just got through singing, and some of y'all showing yourself over here and running up and down the aisle and jumping up and down. This is the holy God that we're talking about. Which one of us is good enough to carry out the work that God has set before us? Which one of us is qualified to say, well, I am the body of Christ. I'm part of the body of Christ. Which one of us is really qualified? We think about the scripture, and in particular, we're looking at Moses. But when you think about even into Jesus' call of the disciples, which one of them were really qualified? Was it the guys that were fishermen? Was it some of the other? Was it the Apostle Paul that was a chief Pharisee that had murdered the Christians along the way? Who is really qualified? Moses is feeling inadequate to lead the children of Israel. And he's offered several excuses to God. Moses was old. Some of you in this room are old. Not me, of course. Just some of you. Moses was old. Moses was 85 years old when the bush burnt. At the burning bush, Moses was some 85 years old. But yet, God speaks to an 85-year-old man out of the burning bush. Sometimes we think our age makes us inadequate or disqualifies from doing God's work. Sarah and I have got, over the last few years, we've got to meet a couple that stepped into the pastoral ministry at close to 70 years old. You see, God's not bound to what's on your birth certificate. God is not bound to whether we think we're physically able or not. You see, Moses was saved and sanctified. Moses had gotten a bit satisfied, I think, and when we read this, Moses really, you know, he was a man of excuses at times. They said, well, what am I going to go over there and say to these people? Who am I going to tell them to sit me? You know, sometimes we find ourselves on cruise control. I have to guard my heart as a pastor, because especially when we got a superb church like we do here at Voice of Praise, because I could find myself on cruise control. I could find myself in thinking, well, service is going to happen, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and I could find myself on cruise control and not seeking the face of the Lord and not having vision for the future of the church. I could find myself on cruise control. But listen, God is calling us. He qualifies us, and then He calls us. He calls us to have vision. For the Bible says without vision, or without, that word interpreted as revelation, and without revelation, people perish. We can't afford to lose our revelation of who God is. And Moses is struggling here just a little bit. Well, who am I supposed to say is sent to me, God? And God reveals Himself to Moses. When we read that scripture, He said, I am. He didn't, in the first statement, he didn't say, tell them I am. He said, I am. I am. So we must realize that God is who qualifies us. We must have a revelation from God who He is. And then we'll allow God to work through us in our inadequacies. In order, when we arrive at that place, or in the journey to arrive at that place, we must achieve a right concept of who God is if we're going to serve the Lord with power, purpose, and serve Him in the proper perspective. You see, that's everything. That's everything that God was doing, or that's everything that He was saying to Moses, was I am. I am. I am. I am Lord. And again, you find that word Lord was capitalized there, and in the sense it was capitalized, again, that means that God is saying in His fullness, in the fullness of the Godhead, I am Lord, I am God of all things. Now, when we think about God in the sense that He is God of all things, we must think of Him in that concept. When Peter, in the New Testament, when Jesus asked Peter and he says, "Who do you say I am?" Peter said, "You art the Christ." He recognized the fullness. He recognized the completeness of God that was found in Christ. You and I must also understand and realize the completeness in Christ. Again, let's go back to the scripture. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers sent me,' and they ask me, 'Who is, what is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He didn't say, "You go tell them this." God said to Moses, "I am who I am." We have to have a correct understanding of who God is. And I want to touch on that here in just a moment. He says, "This is what you say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" You see, in order for Moses to go to Israel, God's saying to Moses, "You've got to have an understanding of who I am." In order to reach and to minister and to preach the gospel, and you may not preach it like I get up and preach it on Sunday morning, but we all have a responsibility to share the gospel. In order to share the gospel and share the gospel effectively, you and I must be like Moses, we must be like Peter, and we must have a revelation of who God is. In fact, let me say this. Because we've talked what we're talking about this morning. On the way driving here. So this is my point. If we really don't have a revelation, if we don't have at least some perception of who God is, there is a good possibility that we may not truly be saved at all. Because without revelation, without vision, people perish. So we must have a revelation. We must have some understanding of who God is. I am is neither, when God says I am is neither existent nor has an origin or is not dependent on any other source. Wycliffe, that wrote the Bible commentary that sometimes we use, he said this about God in his Bible commentary. He says, "God is not an abstract existence, but an active manifestation of existence. God does not exist because of time. God does not exist because the earth exists. God actually exists of his own self, of his own accord. God is self-sufficient, not depending upon anything, anyone, or any other means." So we find when God says, I am, he said, "Moses, I am," he is declaring his independence of any other source. Now, Moses apparently grasped a hold of that. Because Moses begins to realize that God's not dysfunctional, he's not dislocated, he's not disoriented, he is not out of place. He knows everything's going on, and there is a big word for that, and we say that God is sovereign. Okay? God is the great I am. He's not a great I am, he is the great I am. Meaning that when he says that, in his vocabulary, in the vocabulary of God, there is not a past, there is not a future, but everything is present in the realm of God. Now, I don't share my thought with you, okay? And I express this. My thought. This is just my thought, okay? Because God has no past, he has no future, he is always present, okay? Because there is no time with God. Without time, there can't be a past. Without God, time, there can't be a future. God is just the ever-present God. So what happens is, let me tell you, AK's not sitting waiting on you. Okay? But AK's just going to be, AK's going to be there. And when you get there, he's going to be there. And you don't be there. And you don't be there forever. Because God is a present God. God is a present God. And sometimes we think and we believe and we feel like there's people that are sitting around waiting on us, just waiting on something to happen. And we sing those songs about, I've been waiting by the river for you. Phooey! There's nothing in the scripture to prove that, because God is a present God. And when we enter into His presence, it's going to be just like we've always been there, because all the old things have passed away and everything becomes new in the presence of God. That is the I am-ness of God. He is ever present. He's not waiting in tomorrow. He's not hanging out in our past. But God is God today, and He always will be the God of today. So there's no past. There's no future, but God is always present. I am speaks of God's completeness, His wholeness, because I am can never fail. Failure's not in the vocabulary of God. It's not on His radar. It's not even in His ability to fail. I am speaks of God's unlimited supply. Not only is His supply unlimited, but it's also unending. You can't bankrupt God. So, Pastor, I've been praying and I just feel bad. I've asked God for so much. Don't worry about it. You're not going to bankrupt Him. You're not going to take everything that He has. When He says, I own the cattle of 1,000 hills, what that's saying metaphorically is everything that exists is mine. Everything that there is mine. I created all things. I made all things. I set all things into place. And God said it is mine. You'll never bankrupt heaven. Trust me. Trust me. You know, in our bank accounts here in this life, I tell people very often, we'll get talking about maybe finances or even in I use banking, if you would, or finance, even in helping people walk through their relationship problems. You know, if you go down here to the bank and but if you don't go to the bank and you never make a deposit, but you keep writing checks, eventually you're going to be overdrawn, okay? You know, I heard one guy said he went and he never had a bank account before, and he went and opened up a checking account, put him a little bit of money in the bank, opened up that checking account, they gave him a book full of checks, and he just kept writing checks and writing checks and writing checks, and they started coming back, they started bouncing, and somebody said, well, Bill, didn't you know you was out of money? He said, no, I still had checks. But in the resources of life, in the natural sense, we all have an understand the check and balances system. We have to make deposits if we're going to make withdrawals. Okay? But with God, because God's I am, He never makes a deposit. And you can't overdraw on God. Because He is there to supply you with everything that you and I could possibly ever need. Pardon me, I got to pick that up. It's aggravating me. My OCD's kicking in there. But listen. You'll never overdraw or never overdraft on the goodness of God. Jesus identifies Himself in 11 different stations. 11 different administrations of I am. So what's in the name? Let me tell you what's in the name. If you got something right with, get this out and write fast, okay? Because I'm going through this rather fast. Jesus, which is Lord, because He's of the Godhead. Jesus was the Godhead made complete. Jesus, 11 different administrations in John chapter 6, verse 35, 41, and 51. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. In John chapter 8, verse 12 and verses and chapter 9 and verse 5, he said, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 10, verse 7 and 9, Jesus said, I am the door. In John chapter 10, verses 11 and 14, he said, I am the good shepherd. In John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. In John chapter 15, verses 1 and 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. In Revelation 22 and 16, Jesus said, I am the offspring of David, and he said, I am the bright and morning star. I want you to know the I amness of God is displayed through and through by the person of Jesus Christ that we celebrated as our resurrected Savior just 1 week ago today, and he is present among us. He's not in the past. He's not in the future, but he is the ever-present God meeting our needs every single day of our life. So God says, I am that I am. And he said, remember Moses, that's my name. And sometimes it's very, very, very beneficial for us to speak the name of Jesus. You know, we sing that song. We sang it this morning. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. It's beneficial. It's beneficial to speak the name God has with a capital G, mind you. It's good to say the name Yahweh or El Shaddai. There's all kinds of names we can come up with. Jireh, Nisi, Salom. There's so many names that we can come up and mention, and they're good. But we need to receive the revelation that God says, I am that I am. That means I am suffice for everything and anything that is necessary in your life. And when I am gets into our spirits, when I am gets into our spirits, Miss Brenda, if you want to come back up. When I am gets into our spirits, when the revelation of I am gets into our spirits, when we need help, he is I am. When I need hope, peace, and love, he is I am. I ain't smart enough to figure all this out, preacher. Don't worry about it, cause I am. What really works for me? What's really going to work? I don't know what really works, pastor. Don't worry about it. Just let I am handle it. What will really last? I need something that's going to be like everything around me has failed. I am never fails. I don't know what to believe anymore. Well, believe in I am. I don't know. I'm not sure who my friends are anymore. God says, I am. Nobody's listening to me and nobody cares. I am says he is. I don't have a prayer to pray anymore. I don't have anything to pray. I am says, listen, when you don't know what you ought to pray for, I will make moanings and intercessions for you. My marriage is crashing. I don't know where to turn. I am said I am. The kids are driving me crazy. That don't mean they have to be little either. They can be 40 years old and still drive you crazy. I can't take it anymore. I am says I'm still I am. I failed. I failed miserably. I have failed. I failed God. I failed my family. I failed miserably. I am says, come to me, you that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I've given and given and given, but that's just simply not enough. I am said, I see everything you've given. I'm tired and I'm weak. I am says, when you're weak, that's when I'm strong. I'm discouraged and I just want to quit. I am says, no time to quit. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. I'm just desperate. I'm just desperate. I can't do this. Whatever you're facing in life, listen to me. God is still I am. He's not hanging out in your past. He's not lingering waiting for you to show up in the future, but He is here for you today. He is here for you today. Listen, men fail. Humanity. Men fail. Systems fall. Economics fail. Political systems collapse. Engines fail on planes. Rudders will cease to turn on the ships. Computers will crash and leave us without being able to order at McDonald's or unable to do a bank transaction or leave us unable to watch live stream of worship service instead of getting up and going to church on Sunday. Oh, did I say that? Computers will fail us. Mechanics fail us. Mechanical things will fail us. People will fail us. But I want you to know, there is one who cannot fail. And it is I am. And that's why He said, Moses, I am. I am. I am, Moses. And because I am, you can go and you can say to these people, He says, what am I going to do if they ask what your name is? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Somebody says to you how you don't survive this. You're going to say, I am. Somebody says, can you make it through this ordeal? You say, sure I can, because I am is with me. You think everything's going to work out okay? Sure it is, because I am is with me. What's His name? Who shall I tell them then? God says, I am who I am. This is what you are to say, Moses. To say, I am has sent me. You're here for a reason. You're here for a purpose. Every single one of us in this room is. And understand, whatever you're facing in life or whatever you're going through in life, that when you face it, when people may question you or just the obstacle of life may cause you to question yourself, you can answer the same thing that God said to Moses. He says, you look, see, Moses' circumstance was Israel. He said, you look at Israel right square in the eye, and you say to them, I am has sent me. I am has sent me to voice of praise. I am has sent you into your situation. I am has sent you into your job. I had a job one time. I'm chasing rabbits now, but forgive me. This is a good rabbit. I had a job one time. Back in the early 1980s, during the recession, I had a job and I hated that job. I hated that job. I was not really thankful for my job. I hated that job. But I was raised, in all of my years of working in the public workplace, I probably have drawn less than 8 weeks unemployment pay. Even during the economic disaster of the early 80s, I went out and found me a job. I hated that job. I was only making $2.75 an hour on that job. I hated that job. I can't say that enough. But you know what? As much as I hated that job, And I didn't realize it then, but I realize it now. I look back, and because I worked with a bunch of guys, they were a bunch of heathenistic guys. I loved them. They were great guys. Still friends with some of them today. And but you know what? It gave me the opportunity to let the light of Jesus Christ shine into some lives. Now, did I like my job? What did I just tell you? No, I hated my job. But you know what? I look back now and I realize I am sent me into that place. If none other else, for one guy named Joe, and not too many years after I left that job, Joe came to Jesus. Joe was a big old man. And Joe came to Jesus. And here I am, little short fella, and Joe's a mountain of a man. Joe came to Jesus. And you know what? Joe was diagnosed with cancer. And Joe received his healing by way of death. But you know what? Because I am took care of me while I was on that job that I absolutely hated, it gave me the opportunity to share Jesus with Joe. So in the worst situations that you can think of, understand this. I am still in control. Comprehend, grasp, know the I amness of God. Because God's name is who He is. Not only is it who He is, but it's what He is. The ever-present God. And His name is, I am. I am. Amen. I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. I want to ask you a question. I always give this first opportunity. If you're in this room and you've never been saved, or maybe you've been saved and you feel like you've drifted far away from God, understand with me this morning. The I Am is here for you. The I Am is so big He can be here for me and everybody else in this room, but He's personally here for you. The I Am is not hanging out in your past waiting on you to come back. He's not hanging out in your future waiting for you to show up. The I Am is here right now, today. That's why the Lord said today is the day of salvation. Today is the accepted time. If you're sitting here in this room and you've never been saved, or maybe you've drifted far away, today is your day because God said, I am. He's here right now. Today is your day. Well, I'm not sure if today is the right day for me to get saved or not. Let me tell you this. It is. It is. I don't want to know your situation, or don't need to know. You don't have to explain it to me. I'm not sure, preacher, if today is the right day for me to give my heart to the Lord or not. I can answer your question. It is. Because God says I am. If you're in this room and you've never been saved, or maybe you've drifted far away in your walk with the Lord, the ever-present God is still here. He doesn't live in this building. He lives in the atmosphere that surrounds us. The presence of God. So if that's you, you need to be saved. Or you need to rededicate your life this morning. I promise I'm not going to embarrass you. But I just want you to raise your hand for me real quick. Say, Pastor, pray for me. As people bowing their heads, and eyes are closed. Is there one person in this room today? Pastor, I really need to get saved. I really need to rededicate my life. Anybody at all? I take it by that everybody in this room is ready to meet the Lord. But perhaps there's somebody in here that is struggling a bit. Perhaps you're here and you simply just don't know if you're going to make it. Maybe you're in this room and you've even questioned even if God even knows you exist. seems like your prayers have gone unanswered. If that's you in this room right now, we can pray with you in any way along that sort. I'd like to pray with you this morning. Not just me, but call for as many as will. Because you need the I Am to show up in your life. You need that revelation of who God is. Because He is Lord of all. Anybody in this room needs special prayer for anything? Don't be bashful. It's good. Need some folks, some prayer. Some people faithful to prayer. Samantha, I'll tell y'all this, and this is okay. We're going to have a small. When's our small business week, Dave? Is that in May? We did it last year. We're going to do that again this year. But DJ and Samantha are launching their own business, and I tell you, I've been there. I've done this. Okay, and we're going to anoint this card. And they're just praying for God's guidance in all of this, and that even in their business, they'll be about what God's wanting them to be and what God's wanting them to do. Now, don't. Unless, you can hand this card to somebody, but we're anointing this. You can hang that up in your office or you put it in your truck or something like that. But I want y'all to lay y'all's hand. Where's my other business people at? Dave, come on down here real quick. Don't fall down those steps. Come real quick. Where's our other small business? But yeah, come on. So, the Lord blessed you. Did the Lord bless last year? Did the Lord bless in small business last year? And these guys are starting out. They're just starting out. And we're just believing God is going to make you all. You're going to prosper, and the Lord is going to bless you. God, as we lay our hands on DJ and Samantha, God, today, as they step out in you, Lord, even the venture that they're taking in life, Lord God, as in entrepreneurship and business, God, I just pray that you will bless them, Lord God, in all that they do. Let them be a blessing to other people, Lord God, in their work that they do. But Lord, let them be a blessing, Lord Jesus, and in Christian witness, because we know that, Lord, that this will open up many doorways of opportunities for them to speak to people. Lord, we know it's a scary thing, Lord, when you're going in business for yourself and you're putting everything on the line. But God, today, Lord, we know that you are the I Am. Lord, you are the I Am. Every single day, one day at a time, every single day, Lord, you are going to be in the midst of this business venture, Lord. You're going to bless them, Lord, and prosper them, Lord. They are going to acknowledge you in their ways and their doing. They are going to be faithful stewards to you. And God, you are going to bless them, Lord, in their coming and in their going, Lord God. Lord, you are going to cause them to prosper, Lord, and to be in health. Even as their soul prospers, God, you are watching out over them, Lord. And as we anointed this business card as a point of contact, Lord God, we believe in faith, God, in that point of contact, that, Lord, that they are going to be astonished at what you are going to do. In Jesus' name we commit it to you. Amen.